come before you, Lord, and we can lay our burdens down at your feet. Right now, if whoever just raised their hand, just lift up your hand right now. Father, we surrender, God, every burden. God, we surrender every weight. God, we surrender all sickness, God. We surrender all infirmity, Lord. God, we surrender the weights of this world, Lord Jesus, that tend to bind us and to drag us down, Holy Spirit. And Lord, right now, we give it to you, Jesus. We give it all to you, God. Lord, we expect right now, Jesus, I pray right now, Father, that you would just begin to stir and activate our faith this morning. God, begin to stir it up right now, Holy Spirit. I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would come in a fresh new way, a fresh new anointing, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that your glory and your power would begin to walk through each aisle. God, would touch every person. For those that have not experienced your presence, for those that have not experienced your power, today is the day that they are going to experience your glory in all your goodness, Lord. I just thank you, Holy Spirit. Everyone in this place, let's just lift up our hands in a sign of surrender to the Lord. God, we lift up our hands. We lift up our voices. Lord Jesus, we literally bow our hearts before you, God. And we ask, Lord, that you would come. God, you would manifest yourself in this place. We pray that you would manifest your glory like we've never experienced before. Lord Jesus, we are not going to play the game of religion this morning. We refuse to go through the motions. We refuse just to sing a song on the screen. We refuse just to listen to a message. But God, we come right now with great expectation in our hearts. God, as we sing these words on the screen, as we listen to the message, God, that your power will be released in our hearts, will be released in our spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How many is ready to worship the Lord this morning? Come on, let's put our hands together this morning. Holy Spirit, we want to experience you, Lord. I want to scream it out from every mountaintop. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me.
Come on, sing it out.
And I say because you are good and I dance because you are good and I shout because you are good to me. Oh, and I sing because you are good and I dance because you are good and I shout because you are good to me. Come on. Nothing, no one. Anywhere close to you, the earth and oceans deep only reflect this truth. And in my darkest night, you shine as bright as day. Your love amazes me. Yes, it does. And I say, because you are good and I dance because you are good and I shout because you are good to me. Oh, and I sing because you are good and I dance because you are good and I shout because you are good to me. With the cry of praise, and my heart will proclaim, you are good, you are good. In the sun rain, my heart celebrates.
Come on.
You are good, you are good. And
I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good, and you are good to me. Oh, and I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good, you are good. Come on, sing that again. Oh, and I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good, you are good to me. You are good, Lord. Yes, you are. You are good, you are good, you are good, you are good, oh God.
God, you are so good to us this morning, Jesus. We receive your goodness, Lord.
You are good, you are good, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. You are good to us. Heaven and hear the noise inside, the sound of angels, all the sound of angel songs, and all this for a king. We could join and sing all to Christ the King.
Sing that again, turn.
Turn your ear to heaven and hear the noise inside, the sound of angels, all the sound of angel songs, and all this for a king. We could join and sing all for Christ the King. Oh, praise Him.
Noise. Come on, the sound of salvation.
The sound of salvation come. The sound of rescued ones, and all this for a king. Angels join and sing, all for Christ the King.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I want us to not just sing a song, as Nick was sharing before. I don't want us to just read the words. I don't want us to just go through the motions. Dave, can you go back to the one slide that first says to turn your ear to heaven and hear the noise inside? I love that inside, because heaven's inside of you. Heaven's not someplace else. So many of us think we've got to wait to get there before we can truly act like we're in heaven. Folks, heaven's inside of us. Come on.
Yes, Jesus.
What is inside of us? The kingdom of God. Holy Spirit dwelling, living, abiding. That's heaven. So take a moment and hear that sound inside of you. Maybe it's just telling you this morning you are loved. Maybe it's telling you that you can do it. That what's been you've been facing is not impossible. That what you've been experiencing is for a purpose and a reason. And that you're being prepared for such a day as this. Let's go to the next one. Turn your gaze to heaven. Raise a joyous noise. Now listen, so many times I would look up in the sky and the stars, and those are heavens, but there's a heaven that we can see by the Spirit. We can see by the Spirit, but we have got to turn our gaze there. Remember in Hebrews 12, it says we're surrounded by such a cloud of great witnesses, and that we're to not let sin and things that have been holding us back continue to hold us back, but we're to turn our gaze to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. As we do this song again, a prophetic song this morning, I believe, let's not just say the words, let's not just look at the words, not just sing the song, but let's experience the moment. I believe that there's going to be people that are going to go deeper into who they're called to be, just even during this song, because heaven is here. Heaven is inside of us, working and having its way inside of us, causing us to be fashioned just like Jesus.
And turn your ear to heaven and hear the noise inside, the sound of angels, all the sound of angel songs, and all this for a king. We could join and sing all for Christ the King. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. He is all. Come the sound of rescue ones, and all this for a king. Angels joy to see, all for Christ the King.
Oh,
thirsty, and all who are weak, and come to the fountain, dip your heart in the streams of life, the pain and the sorrow, and be washed away. Deep cries out to deep. We sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come. And all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away. His mercy has deep cries out to deep. We sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, we declare with our lips, come, Lord Jesus.
Just get this vision of like Jesus just being a rescuer and how he loves just to rescue people, and he loves to come down. He likes to be the man. And I just see Jesus just coming down, and as we say, come, Lord Jesus, come, he says, finally I can come, I can rescue you. You asked me to come. And I just feel that this morning as we sing this, we're just going to sing it one more time, but we're just going to say, Jesus, come. And he's just going to come down, and he, in his awesome power in his huge hands and his huge muscles. He's just gonna come down and say, you know what? I got you. I have you. You no longer have to be where you are. I got you. And I just feel that this morning, Jesus wants to be your rescuer. He wants to be our rescuer. He wants to be our everything that we need. He just wants to be our portion. And I just feel as we sing this morning, let's just ask God, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you to come. I need you to deliver me. I need you to set me free. I need you to rescue me. And he is going to literally come down with his power and with his might. And he is going to break the chains. He's going to come and he's going to rescue you. He's going to heal you. And Jesus, we sing, come, Lord Jesus. Need you, God. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We need your power, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus, come, I receive you now, oh, Lord, Jesus, come, just like you do, oh, Lord, come, Lord, Jesus, come. We just love your presence, God. Jesus, there is none like you. Your name be praised and worshiped. You alone are God, Savior. What can compare to you, Lord? The beauty of your presence. Worship.
to you, Lord. The beauty of your presence. Raining down on me.
Come on, I'll always sing.
And I will always sing, oh Lord, you are faithful, oh Lord, you are loving, always there for me in glory, to glory, you never change your way.
Is faithful. My son-in-law was diagnosed with lymphoma non-Hodgkin's and disease, and quite severe. They found it just out of an x-ray. There were several lymph nodes that were damaged, they were told. He's been going back for x-rays and CAT scans, and here a month ago he went back. And all of the upper part that was damaged is now shrunken. And that shows me that God does heal. And if anybody's here that has a little doubt about being healed, that's a big, big step, because that disease, we have been told, moves very fast and just takes away everything. And then also, God's faithful in your finances. We're on Social Security. My husband's been scrapping metal for odds and ends, and he hired on the irrigation department. Well, he did it last summer, and he said, no. He said, I'm not going to do it. He got two phone calls. Oh, you can't quit. You can't quit. You're the only one that knows the pipes and everything. They have given him $600 a month flat rate. And every hour that he works past that, he gets $12 an hour. So God does work your finances and everything. And some of our Social Security was cut because of some premiums. But yet, here comes God right behind us. And he always does. So don't give up on your health and your finances. He's there for you every minute.
What a beautiful testimony of our God's faithfulness and his love. When we were beginning our worship, the Lord showed me a large pot, like a big cast iron pot, and it was in the middle of the sanctuary, whatever we call our spot where the worship team is. It was a large pot, and not one by one, but many people came forward and put their hurts, their brokenness, their fears and doubts, disappointments, they put them into this pot. And it became a melting pot. A melting pot. And it was incense that went to the throne room of our Father. All of our hurts and disappointments, all of the healings that we're expecting, all the doubts and fears, the Lord took those when we turned them over to him, and they became incense to our King.
Just done such a work in my heart, but Pastor Greg just basically said which was, it's hard to explain, but I'm just going to go with what the Holy Spirit showed me, which was like waves of mercy are just pouring. They're coming from the kingdom. They're coming from heaven. And it's like we're like, you know, the game of ping pong where you have your thumbs on the paddles and then you have to push it to keep the ball away. And that's kind of what we've been doing with his mercy. Like, as we've just kind of kept, as soon as it comes, we push that paddle and we keep the waves from, we break the wave back. And God just showed me that it's like dripping over. His waves of mercy still come even when we push back. He's so good. He's so good. Sometimes we feel like we're swimming in despair, but we actually still have that mercy flowing. And if we would just let the breakers go, then his waves of mercy can just flow. Like they come like a roaring wave over us, and we could drown in it. That's okay, because it's his mercy. It could completely consume us, and we can be set free in that. And just don't hold back. Doesn't matter what it looks like. He never changes. So he's a gentleman. He's the same. He's not gonna just, I was praying up there, God, just rip the breaker off. He's like, that's not me. I'm the same today, yesterday, tomorrow. But all we have to do is just accept it, just let it break. And so that's my prayer, that God, you would just allow in my life, God. God, I allow you in my life, God, to just pour over that mercy. Accept your mercy, God. And God, I pray, God, that anyone else in this place, God, that wants to accept your mercy, God, and just let it flow, God, that they would just do it right now, God. God, that we would just accept your mercy, God, where we are right now, God. God, the hidden things, the secret things, you know everything, Holy Spirit. And you love us so much that even when we push you away, you still flow gently like a little creek, God. You still touch us, God. And we just, God, we lift up your name in this place. And we just ask for your freedom to be in this place, God. And we love you, Holy Spirit.
Your presence,
We expect your love. We expect the heavens' great outpouring. We expect your presence. We expect your love. We expect your love.
Holy Spirit, I just thank you. I just thank you for your love and your leading. And as I stand up here and read what you showed me last night, out of Jesus' calling in your word, I pray that you would have your way, Holy Spirit, and I just thank you for your mercy and your faithfulness, God, in this place. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to try not to cry anymore. I'm going to try. His love just overwhelms me. And I just want to say, you know, I've been going through, I feel like I'm always going through, but I've struggled with depression for, you know, probably since I was a senior in high school. And you know, I've tried, you know, counseling. I've tried taking Zoloft, you know, or the generic form of it. And my husband knows me. He knows me so well, and he just wants to fix me. And I just want to honor my husband. And this isn't where I was really going, but I just want to really honor my husband and tell him that I love him so much. Because when I was going through depression, and when I didn't want to get out of bed, and I would just sit there, and I would just lay there, and I would just sit and cry. Babe, pray for me, babe. You know, I'd wake him up. Babe, pray for me. He would pray for me. He'd get frustrated because he knew that I knew where my source was. But he would pray for me. And so God's just really dealing with my heart with, you know, relationships. And going to him when I need him. And, you know, and I just praise God, though, for all the relationships in my life. But I just want to read this, and it's just about coming to him. And and it was from yesterday. And it says, "You need me every moment. Your awareness of your constant need for me is your greatest strength. Your neediness, properly handled, is a link to my presence. However, there are pitfalls that you must be on guard against. Self-pity, self-preoccupation, giving up. Your inadequacy presents you with a continual choice. Deep dependence on me or despair. The emptiness you feel within will be filled either with problems or with my presence.
Make me central in your consciousness by praying continually. Simple, short prayers flowing out of the present moment. Use my name liberally to remind you of my presence. Keep on asking and you will receive, so that your gladness may be full and complete. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I can open my Bible, and I will, because I don't want these to be my words, and I just, you know. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray continually, and that's it. Pray continually. That's an easy one to remember. And I'm like, how do I pray continually? I just keep thinking of all these things, and my mind just wanders, and I get distracted so easily. But it's like, pray continually, you know, and in the spirit, and, you know, like if you think about somebody, pray for them. But, and then in John, I'm sorry, I don't mean to take up the whole service. John 16:24. Says, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And I think that's all. But yeah, so that's all. Thank you. And I love you guys.
Thank you, hon. Thank you. Just hold steady once you're in. Yeah, we're just family here. We just share when we feel the Lord's moving, so you're welcome anytime.
Thank you. The verse that the Lord laid on my heart this morning was in Proverbs chapter 3, where it says, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And, you know, the picture the Lord gave me was a motorcycle, which I would be terrified if I ever got on one. But when you go around a corner on a motorcycle, you have to lean into that corner. And the Lord just really spoke to me and said, I don't care what's going on in your life. If you will lean into me, if you will go with what is happening in your life, you're not going to crash. But if you don't lean, if you lean the other way, you may crash. But lean into the Lord with everything. And so when the Lord spoke this verse to me a few days ago, I thought, okay, I'm doing that. I'm leaning on you, Lord. And then sometimes we only lean on him when a hard time comes. But we need to take him. I believe the Lord is speaking this morning to say he wants all of you. He wants all of you in the good times and in the bad times. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I don't want just a casual leaning, a propping up to get through a situation. He said, I want you to become dead weight in my arms, dying out to self, dying out to what you would like to be. Say, I don't want to go through this, Lord. I don't want to go through this. Die out to what you want. And become dead weight in his arms, because he will take you through. He understands it all. You don't have to. Isn't it wonderful that we can lean, we can trust completely in him?
Amen. Thank you, sis. Praise the Lord. Wow. Well, the Lord's been speaking today. And a lot of times, you know, we just leave the service and we leave the words at the service. Don't do that today. Take them with you. Let them start to penetrate and work in your heart and your life. These aren't just for us to just enjoy a word here and say, oh, that was nice. No, this is for transformation. This is so that we can be more like Jesus. That is the Father's goal, that we would be conformed to the image of Christ, conformed to who he is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to ask the honers to come on up. What's that mean? That's you guys. Whole family. couple weeks ago, Tyson and Angela spoke with Pastor Gay and myself and said that they felt that they were being released. And I've had that experience before. I know how it feels. And even though, you know, they're being released to go someplace else, they're with us. They're family. I told them, you guys are family. Yeah, we love you if you ever need anything. And I hope all of you think the same way as I do. Because we're the body of Christ. We are not the churches of Christ. We're the body of Christ. And so no matter if you're across town or across the world, you'll be in our hearts. And we love you. I want you guys to have this. And I would ask the staff and team to come up. We're going to lay hands on them. We're gonna be sending you out. You know, that's the way I believe that this is meant to be, that you guys are going to go someplace that God has prepared for you to go to, and that you're going to be a blessing. You're going to grow. You're going to be someone that can speak words of life and truth, and that you are going to be like another foundation there, a pillar wherever they send you. I believe that. Father, we just thank you for this couple, for this family, Lord. We thank you, God, for their faithfulness, God, for so many years, Lord, that they have dedicated themselves, Lord, to the service of the Lord, to the service of the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you, God, for all the times, Lord, that they have been, Lord, where you have placed them, God, and been there faithfully, Lord, that they continue to follow after you and hear your voice. We thank you, Lord, for all the love that they've shown us, the love they've shown everyone here. And God, we send them forth now in the mighty anointing and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for their service, Lord, but we know, God, there's days ahead of them now where you're going to, Lord, take them even higher. Lord, that they're going to experience your love. They're going to experience the depths of who they are in Christ. And Lord, we look forward to the testimonies, God, of the growth and just the experiences that they're going to have because of you in their life. Thank you, Lord, for being their God. And we just love you and we love them, Lord, and we send them in love. Thank you guys for Angela for being the nursery director for so many years, and Tyson for helping with the building and repairs and stuff, and in the last few years being, you know, children's leaders for like once every 3 months. Thank you so much, and we love you, and we know worship team for every other thing, yeah, and just everything that you have been doing, and just know that what you do in secret, the Lord will reward you openly. And so those secret things that have never been talked about, you're going to receive your reward in full for it. Okay? We love you guys. And you go and you rock the kingdom of God. Okay? All right. And come visit anytime. All right. You want to say something, Tyson? Okay. Like a
final charge. Well, I just wanted to take an opportunity just to thank this house. First of all, I'd just like to thank the Lord. I mean, he's the one that gets all the credit for where I'm at. Because without the Lord and leaning on him and following him, I know that I would have fallen on the wayside. And, you know, and so there's been key people that have helped me get, you know, our family to where we're at. And so I just want to thank everyone here for the friendships. Thank you for the time that we've spent here. And, you know, and one thing that I have truly loved about this congregation, this church over the years, is one, of course, what the sign says is we're a family. And anytime you can call upon a family member and say, hey, I've got a special need, I've got something that is hurting me or bothering me or whatever it is, there's always somebody that reaches out in prayer or just in helping hands. And so I just thank you all for all the years of your friendship. And so I just want to say God bless you all. And we'll see you. We'll bump into you, I'm sure, and we'll probably visit every now and then. So thank you. God bless you guys.
I just want to say that what Pastor Sharon said today is exactly what we're doing in our lives right now. It's a hard time for us because I've been here for 25 years. I don't know, basically my life. And I know it's a God thing that Sharon's here today, too, because our journey was with her, too. So as you guys think of us over the next couple months, I just ask that you would pray for us. that God would put us exactly where he wants us to be. That's what we're doing right now, is just leaning on him and trusting that we'll be where he wants us to be. So.
Amen. Love you guys. Thank you. Make sure you give them a hug and bless them. And would the children please come up? It's Elena's birthday today. She is 11. Come on, Elena. So this will be your final Sunday in children's? Is that what it is? Or is it, my goodness. She is growing up, isn't she? I remember little tiny one. Oh, boy, makes me feel old. Okay, would you stretch forth your hand? We're going to bless the children of the Lord. Father, we thank you for these children, Lord. We thank you for these hearts. Lord, we know, God, that you love them, Lord, and you want them, Lord, to be drawn to you. So, Lord, we pray today, God, that they receive, Lord, truth. They receive your anointing and your strength, your encouragement. And we just bless them now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that they're called for such a time as this. And, Lord, we pray that the little that we know about you, Lord, would be so multiplied in their life, God, that they would experience you in your fullness. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so tonight at 6 p.m. is going to be, with calling it Working Your Way Through the Word. It's a long title for just simply a time that I'm going to be teaching you techniques and tools that I use to maximize understanding the Word of God. And so I was going to use eSword, which is a program you have to download, and I thought, well, let's just make it simple. If you want to bring your phone or your laptop or your tablet, you can feel free to do that. And we're going to go to a couple of websites that give us all the tools that we need. And I believe it's going to be very informative, but I believe most of all it's going to equip you to know the Word of God better. So if you'd like to come, we have a sign-up sheet. You can, if you don't sign up, you can still come. It's not like, I didn't sign up, so I can't come. It's not like that. So March 12th, we're going to have a prophetic worship night. Now, that is a Wednesday night, so those of you who have cells know that we'll be meeting here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock, and we're going to have a prophetic worship night. Mike Danforth is going to be joining us, and he's going to help lead us in prophetic worship. How many experience kind of a peace and a rest, and sometimes the Lord communicates directly to you when we sing a song of the Lord? Not just the words on the screen, but something that comes from our spirit, something that is, I believe, heaven birth, because I know a lot of times I don't even know where the stuff's coming from, but it comes out from within us. And it gets released, and sometimes it's like a word that can encourage you, a word that can challenge you, a word can bless you and strengthen you. That's what we're going to be experiencing that Wednesday night. So I encourage everyone to come, and we'll just see what God's going to do. Again, that's March 12th. And then on another note, we'll be having our couples, One Life Couples Weekend. That's going to be the 21st and 22nd of March. That is a guaranteed date. So again, that's at couples. If you're a couple and you're planning on getting married, please come. If you're a couple who are married, please come. And if you've been married a long time, you can still come. Hey, we're going on 20 years. This July. Isn't that crazy, Sharon? We were just saying that. And Steve goes, you've been married 20 years? Oh, I feel old. I said you should, because you were a little kid when we got married. But anyway, yeah, so I believe that being encouraged with principles of how to be one are timeless. And whether you've been married again or not married yet, I encourage everyone even if you're someone and you know that you're going to be getting married sometime and you really feel that, you know, you need to start knowing these principles, come. You'll be most likely sitting alone, but know that God's got the one for you right next to you by faith. All right. Help me, Lord. Okay, I'm just trying to figure out where to go here because last week, how's that saying go? I slobbered a bibful. Those of you guys don't know that saying. Basically, it means that I let a lot come out. And normally I don't do that. Normally, I keep my messages pretty simple, pretty concise to one verse. And boy, I did not do that at all last week. Uh-huh. Some say yes, amen, it was just right. But I do want to take a moment before I get into today's brief message and just share a couple of keys. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you to get the audio. And I was going to try to print out the PowerPoint, but it's kind of a mess right now. So I actually need to take it and kind of make it so it makes more sense on pages, because it's just pictures, and without the words, it may not make a lot of sense. So I'm going to try to take those pictures, but then add some words so that it comes together. So hopefully I will do that. My full intention is to do that. But I mentioned that there was a key to the date 1948, and I showed you how Israel became a nation in one day. Now, and I explained how I personally, for the last, I've been saved over 30-something years, haven't, like, focused on that, haven't given it a lot of my attention. But through, I believe, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because I was just talking to God, he asked me to look at something in the Word. And he took me back to Genesis 5, I think it's 22, where it talks about Enoch, and then he showed me that he had been basically walking a life. He had been born and lived 65 years, but he had not been walking with God yet. And it wasn't until after he had walked with, had Methuselah, that he walked with God. In other words, he became the father of Methuselah. And then after that, the Lord said, I want you to take 1948 and add 65 to it, and we came out with 2013. Now, for those of you who are hearing this for the first time, it's like, well, what's this have to do with anything? Well, last year was 2013. And 2013, I believe, was the beginning of something very significant in the body of Christ. And it was us experiencing a greater, deeper journey. Mine actually had been working few years prior, but the drawing, the longing, the hunger for more of him, to experience him, to walk with him. Jesus was described as being and existing and living in the bosom of the Father while he was here. It wasn't just something that he had before, and then somehow he was still connected in heaven. And I believe that's something that God is doing in us. Well, the 1948 was brought up because Israel became a nation in 1948. 1948 was the year that they also declared their independence. Well, it was interesting because they declared their independence on one day, and by midnight, they were free. They were a nation. Great Britain released their hold as a colony. It's called colony, for those of you last week. Colony of Palestine. And Israel became a nation in one day. That fulfills a scripture that's in Ezekiel. Now, I've never really focused on that because, you know, it's all about, you know, Israel becoming a nation and then Israel being restored and building the temple and all that. But it was significant because it was also the day of Pentecost that they became a nation. How many know that the day of Pentecost is when we, as a church, were really born? The disciples were in the upper room. They were waiting on the Lord. They had been there for probably about 10 days, and they had been seeking God because Jesus was resurrected most likely on the third day, and about 40 days later, he was ascended into heaven. He told them to go and wait. And on Pentecost, the church that you and I are now part of was born. The body of Christ was truly born. They were in a kind of a holding state for that 7 to 10 days, whatever it was. So what I'm trying to communicate here is that the significance of Israel being born in one day on Pentecost says that something was going on than just them becoming a nation. It had something to do, I believe, with the mark of the last day. See, when Pentecost came for the church, it was Joel being fulfilled. It was that the Holy Spirit was being poured out. And it was a significant empowerment. And I believe for Israel, that same thing happened in 1948. I hope you're following me. I don't have any slides running today. But what I also said, and this is the key, I said something about Abraham, that Abraham was born from zero, if you go from Adam to 1948 years from Adam, Abraham was born. Now, I didn't really explain that. Abraham was a man of faith. He was asked to leave, I believe it was, Haran, where it was where he was living, but I'm trying to think of his father's name. Terah was, I think, was his father's name. Haran is where he left. And he went to wherever God was going to show him, and that he would give him that land. Now, that land that God sent him to was, guess what? The land of Israel. And he became the father of a miracle baby, Isaac. In his old age, when Abraham wasn't even supposed to be able to bear children, and Sarah's womb was dead, he had Isaac, a miracle baby. And then Isaac had who? Jacob and Esau. And Jacob then becomes Israel. So we have the father of Israel also being born in 1948. Again, the point that I was trying to make last week, is that 1948 plus 65 is 2013. I believe the Lord is telling us we're in significant days. We're in days that we're not to just walk and live and just do our thing. We're in days that we're not just supposed to just go to work and go home, watch TV, go to work, go home, develop for retirement. We're in days that as people of God, we need to be looking in our hearts up to heaven with our spiritual eyes, saying, God, what do you want me to do? What is my next step in this day? As a family, what are we going to do in your kingdom? What part do we play in your supernatural picture that you're painting on the earth right now? I believe that we are, and I said it last week, I'll say it again, unashamedly, I believe we are the Enoch generation. What does that mean? Well, Enoch walked with God. The Hebrew word literally means Enoch walked up and down with God, to and fro. Here, he didn't just have a close relationship where he read his Bible every day. There was really no Bible at that time. Enoch walked personally with God, very closely with God. I believe he was an arm-in-arm type of guy with God. He did this for 300 years. And then after that 300 years, God took him because he was used to being with God. And I believe, folks, we are that generation. We're a generation that we can get so close to God that we experience what God experiences. We see what God sees. We get to live a life empowered by him. Amen? Okay. So I'll get that, and again, listen to last week's. I'm probably going to listen to last week's too to see what I said. And if you have any questions about any of this, please come and see me. If you have any, you know, doubts, I'll show you the verses. I'll try to help encourage you where to go look for yourself. Because see, you guys need to seek this stuff out yourself. You need to be searching the scriptures to find the truth that will make you free. So you can walk in that truth, so you can be free. See, so many of us have lived in lies for so long. Some of them been from what our families have imposed on us. Some of them been from what we've heard in the church. Even in the church, folks, sorry. Some of them been based on our experiences, and we think, well, my experience is my life. And we end up believing what our life looks like instead of what God and Jesus has accomplished for us. And so the truth will make you free. Knowing the truth, walking in the truth, living the truth will make you free. Okay. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 3:11. Now, this is funny because there were several of us who kind of talked about this at Cell on Wednesday night. And it just was in my heart last night. So I did some studying, did some reading on it. How many times do we read a verse and we just read what we think we know in it and then go on? And don't even really, again, take in what the verse is saying. And I've done that with this verse before. I've just quoted just kind of the last part. Actually, I've quoted just kind of the center part before to try to communicate a thought. But I want to tell you that I believe that this verse has not been fully justified in most of our modern Bibles. And today I want to justify it. Today I want to give it some credence of what I believe the Lord wants it to mean to us. So Ecclesiastes 3:11, this is what it says in the New King James Version. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. So, again, I've read this many times, and I've always just kind of focused on the fact that it says, also, he has put eternity in their hearts. And the thing is that I never really listened to what the interpreters were saying here. It says, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. And I said, when I read that, I said, well, that's not truth. It's funny, when you start hanging around truth, you start seeing error very quickly. Now, people, Pastor, this is the Bible. You know what? The thing is that there is truth in what's being said here, but there's a way that it could be said that will make the truth just jump out. Because, folks, eternity is planted in our hearts. And it's coming alive. It's coming alive in such a way that we feel, I know I do, I feel closer to heaven every single day. Sometimes I think, Lord, am I like dying? Because I feel your presence so strong. But no, it's because the veil, the separation between heaven and earth is thinning. I mean, what used to be miracle workers that would go into tents and would literally spend, you know, weeks in these tents and have hundreds and thousands of people come by and they would lay their hands on them and blind eyes would open and lame would walk. Whole lines of wheelchairs would pop up. That, you know, it used to be confined to a tent and one man with that anointing. But I'm here to tell you that people go out now, you know, all over the world, and they just walk in the streets, and that veil of heaven that's so thin, they come up to somebody and they just lay hands on them, and sockets that are empty will pop in an eyeball. These kind of testimonies are out there. That's because God is releasing his glory. Heaven is invading earth. And we are full of heaven. And I'm not saying you're full of it. You're full of heaven. You are full of heaven. You may say, I'm full of it, but you're full of heaven. The problem is that we don't see it right now in its entirety, and so we neglect this great salvation that we have, and we basically say, you know what, it will come someday. Someday I'll walk in the fullness. Someday I'll experience eternity here on earth or in eternity. But it's in the now, folks. It's never been more in the now than right now. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. Except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Do you believe that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end? That sounds pretty hopeless, doesn't it? I'm going to turn to a translation. I don't know if you guys have your Bibles. Maybe some of you do. This is, I'm going to actually have to go here. This is the literal translation. And it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, you could also say, even so, or likewise. So, as he's saying that God has made everything beautiful in its time, he's saying likewise or also. So what he's doing, he's drawing a comparison between God making something beautiful in its time and something else. Now, just that comparison alone, I can't see it saying that he's making everything beautiful in its time and no one can know the beginning from the end. Anybody else following? So listen what this translation says, and I want you to get this in your heart. It says, without which man cannot find out the work that God makes from the beginning even to the end. I believe what this is truly saying is that God makes everything beautiful in its time, and because of this eternity that's planted in our hearts, we can know what God is up to. And how is eternity mainly planted in our hearts? If you think about before we're saved, how many of you ever really, never really wanted to go to hell? Anybody? That's why I got saved. Because an unsaved, non-born again person did not want to go to hell. Now, how did I know not to go to hell unless something was planted in my heart? Right? Yeah. We don't say that word much in church anymore. Go to hell, you know, it's because it's like, you know, it's not fun to think about going to hell. But that was the alternative that I saw to knowing Christ. Because someone drew this picture and they showed this big divide between God and man. And man kept walking off in his own strength to try to get to God. And he drew me going to hell. And I don't want to go to hell. Then he drew the bridge, which is Jesus Christ, which was the cross. And I was able to cross that. And believe me, that night I crossed it. He didn't ask me to say a sinner's prayer. He didn't need to. I had bought hook, line, and sinker, and I started following Jesus. I went home that night and started reading my Bible. I didn't know where to read, but I started reading in the Bible. And so, you know what? There was eternity in my heart. There was eternity in my heart that was there even before I knew Christ. But I'll tell you what, after I knew Christ, it became awakened. It came alive in me. The things of God started making sense. The things of the Bible started making sense. And I went on this journey and I started reading the Word and God started showing me things. And I would go to Bible studies and classes and I start learning things. I would follow those and God would make himself more real in my life. But it was just this. It's like a linear thing and a growth and growth. And then every now and then, you know, stumble and go back a little bit and some more growth. And a few years ago, God said, okay, I've got to do a work in you. So he started peeling things off of me that had been sticking for so long, that had been keeping me, see, it's like all the things that I learned started making eternity get quiet. Now, I was getting ready for heaven because I wanted to go to heaven someday. So I was doing everything I thought I needed to do. But it's like eternity was getting quiet. Like the reality of heaven here was getting quiet because I was doing so much of my own strength, so much of my own ways, so much with my own capabilities, my own works of my hands. And it was empty, and I was getting empty. And I was getting dissatisfied. And eternity was getting quiet. It was like the very thing that God had planted in me was being snuffed out. Is this making sense? So he has placed eternity in our heart. It says, in some translations could say, or you could say, because of the Hebrew word that was used there, he's given or gave eternity to us in our hearts. What's that heart? That's our inner man. That's, you know, and that's That's because he loves us, folks. See, God is not trying to just hide himself from us so we can't find him. I mean, if that was the case, would he publicly display his son in a brutal way that you know, some people say he may have just actually been fully naked on the cross. It's possible. The way that they had shredded his clothes and torn him up limb from, I mean, he was being publicly exposed. But why? So we could see God. So that the reality of eternity could be shown to us. See, Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, just isn't so we could be saved and just go to heaven someday. It's so that we can know heaven here now. So we can have an experience with eternity now. Which I believe the eternity that we experience now even weighs in heaven. Why do you think Paul said, I buffet my flesh daily? I buffet my flesh daily so that I might attain the prize. And you know, some of us think, well, that means he just continued just to serve the Lord, just continue to do the work of the Lord, didn't look any, you know, to the right, to the left, didn't, you know, just kept. I believe he fought all of the nature of the now, of the reward of the now. Help me, Lord. Without which, man cannot find out the work that God makes from the beginning even to the end. He has set eternity in our hearts, folks. Because if he didn't do that, there would be no way that man would be able to find out what God was up to. And it's there right now, waiting for you to cultivate eternity. It's you taking the time to be quiet. When we were talking about this on Wednesday night, we talked about how we had seen a show where Bear Grylls, I won't say the guy he took out, but Bear Grylls took somebody out into the wilderness. Now, this guy was your, you know, comedian of comedians, and he was just, you know, always loud and brash, and, you know, always, you know, you see him on like shows that would be like, what is it, Jay Leno or something like that, and he was always making everybody laugh and stuff like that. I mean, he was somebody that everybody looked up to, and he seemed to have it all together. Bear Grylls takes him out, you know, surviving on just the wilderness. And by, I think it was like 2 days, by the second day, this man had become so spiritually attuned that you would go like, is this? I'll say his name. Will Ferrell? It was Will Ferrell. Yeah, believe it or not, if you ever watch that, you're thinking, I mean, they're looking out, and it's like, he's talking like somebody that's hungry spiritually. It's because the world got quiet. The noise of life got quiet, and guess what? Eternity started speaking. The glory of God was displayed. And he was like, wow. I need to take this in. I need to maybe evaluate. I don't know what his life has been since. You know, I know he's come up with some other crazy movies, but I believe something happened to him during those 2 days. But it's not just about 2 days. It's not about a retreat. It's not about a Sunday service. It's not about Bible study. It's not even about your personal devotion time. We have made it so that we have segregated God so much into different departments and different categories and different you know, classifications and timelines that we miss his constant abiding. Just as Teresa was sharing, just, Lord, what's going on? Lord, help me. Tough day here. Father, guide me, direct me. Lord Jesus, you went through hell here on earth. Feels like I am now. Empower me with what got you through. Make it so that it's a constancy, consistency. It's not a service here or a time there. It is all the time. Because heaven is wide open for us.
But it's got to become who we are. It's got to become who we are. It's got to become how we live. It's got to become how we even see things. How many of you view certain situations and you see them on TV and you just go, oh my goodness, you know, this world is just going to hell, you know, in some ways, you know. That's what you think. And you can miss seeing who God is in it. He is his hand in it. And his glory being displayed even in it, in the tragedy. I feel like a rambling man this morning. Father, I just pray right now. I just release, Lord, the reality of eternity in our hearts right now, Lord. Father, for those of us who have been busy looking and staying busy doing things and experiencing things about this life now, Lord, I'll just release your eternity into our hearts in a fresh new way. Release the love of God into our hearts in a fresh new way right now, Lord. Our inner man, Lord, let it come alive to you. Those who have been sleeping, those who have been dreary, those who have been weighted down with life, Lord, just let them experience, Lord, your love, God. God, those who have been feeling like they've been walking through hell here on earth, God, let heaven come alive in them right now. I just speak your truth, the reality of who you are, Lord, over us as a people right now, Lord. Lord, I declare, Lord, that what you have designed and desired for us here in this day will take place, that we will not be sold out. We will not be missing it, Lord. That, Jesus, you will cause us, Lord, to rise up in you in this day. You will awaken us who are asleep and those who have heavy hands weighted with the cares of this life. You'd wake us up, Lord. Wake us up, God. Let the reality of heaven that's here right now come alive inside of us. Lord, that everlasting, that forever, God, that's inside of us, let it come alive right now in Jesus' name. That we might live differently, Lord. As ones that have been said a few weeks ago who've really already died. That if we've already died, then we're really in the everlasting right now. Lord, let that reality come to us right now. That we're already in the forever. That death is just another step in forever. God, I just release, Lord, truth right now. You are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. And we just hold on to the truth. We buy the truth right now. We make sure that the truth is what we receive right now. We sell it not. We don't let go of it. We hold fast to your truth, your instruction, God, that we might truly be those trees planted in righteousness. The planting of the Lord, vessels of honor in a world that runs in dishonor. Vessels of truth, Lord, where lies are all about. God, let your love permeate us from top to bottom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just release, God, the ability to see what you're up to. Even from the end of time, Lord, that we would see what you're up to. From the beginning of days, God, that we can see what you've been up to. As Jesus was slain from the foundations of the earth, that we could truly see what you've been up to, what you're up to right now. Holy Spirit, reveal truth.
I just feel like the Holy Spirit is the activating agent in this, and that some of us have allowed the presence of the Holy Spirit to grow quiet in our lives, and that God is asking us, whoever wants to, soever will, for this time in their lives, that they come forward and just have an anointing of the Holy Spirit reactivated in their life. And if that's you, that you just come forward and allow God just to pour into you,
yes,
and give you what you need to be able to move forward from here.
Show your
this place.
Help us to set our eyes on things above, not on things of this earth. Help us, Lord, to not look, Lord, at what we see, but to look at what we can't see. To gaze at what seems to be invisible, but is more real than the physical world here right now. Lord, we know, and we're convinced that we're in supernatural days. We're in days of awe and wonder. And Lord, we choose to walk in those. We choose to live in the day that we're in. And not in what we've known, not what we think is to come, but Lord, the day that we're in, we choose to live in the present truth that you're pouring out in our hearts. The reality of heaven. The reality of what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be saved by the blood of the Lamb, what it means to be alive and having a place here in this day. You've placed us in such a time as this. You've placed us here in Yakima for such a time as this. Holy Spirit, reveal to us why we're here and what we can do to link arms with you and walk this life, fulfilling your will, accomplishing what you've called us to. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Do you have something?